Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching on Toyotas, camping on Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course, hearing about all the campfire stories in Toyotas, then this is the podcast for you. That's right, ladies and germs. My name is Tyler, and joining me for another episode, the one and only episode 400, because there will never be another one, is Mr. Jimmy Jet. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. I love how your employees set up celebration boomers for us when we walked into the studio today.
Yeah, they like to set traps.
Yeah, let's be honest. Were trying to set up traps that yes. exploded in our faces.
Yes.
But they both of them failed. They had some over the door for like when you open the door, and then they had a trip wire for when you entered the door that would also do these like little poppers. Mm-hmm. And yeah, none of them worked.
None of them
I even hit the trip wire.
You did. You tripped on it.
And it didn't do anything. And then I stepped over it. And then you told me what was going on. Uh-huh. And then I kicked the trip wire to try to make it explode, and it just broke the wire.
Yeah.
The fishing line.
Yeah. So,
but yeah, it was a good attempt. Nice job, MFers. Thank you for the celebration.
It was a worthy try. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
They care about us.
They do care about us.
They don't admit it, but no, I think they really do like us.
They'll never admit it.
No.
They said they got us a cake.
Really?
Yeah.
And then they ate it.
No, I think it's in the fridge.
How long has it been there?
Since yesterday.
Okay.
It lived through the car accident, apparently.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, poor survived. MF and Sean got MF Sean 4x4 on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Yeah, got in a fairly decent large rear end. Yeah, so he's okay. Sore.
His rear end got destroyed.
A big car hit a little car.
Yeah.
And he's sore, but he's doing all right. He's just dealing with all the stupid people out there that don't know how to do their jobs for the insurance agencies and everything else.
They lost his car.
Yeah, I heard that. They completely lost his car.
Literally lost his car.
They didn't know who had it, if it was still at the location, if it was at the tow company, if it was at the yard. They had no idea where his car was.
Nope. He had to go find it, and he found it in the parking lot where he was able to pull the car into the parking lot from where the accident happened, and the insurance company told him just leave it there and the tow truck would come over. And then the insurance company canceled the tow truck and the yard was like, hey, where's your car? We're expecting it here yesterday. And Sean's like, you should have had it yesterday. And anyways, he went back and the car was broken into and a bunch of his shit was stolen.
Yeah. Oh, I feel so bad for the guy.
Dude, It's really amazing. Like, we talk about customer service here on this show quite a bit from different companies.
Yes, we do.
We need to have Sean on to talk about
his customer service experience with all of his companies that he's dealing with. Yeah,
it's bad. Like, everybody, every single person he's talked to, except maybe one, has failed him.
Yeah. Yeah, the rental car place or something. Yeah,
pretty much.
Anyways, it's episode 400. Congratulations to you and me.
Thank you.
400 episodes.
No, congratulations to me.
You.
For putting up with you.
Yeah, yeah.
For 400 episodes.
Yeah. We just rolled over 4 years and now we're rolling over 400. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, it is.
We have a few giveaways going on, like always. We've got the Morflate PSI Pros that you can get in for. You could now have your choice of a 10.6 or a 10.6 or a 5.1? 5.6. They're both sixes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 5.6 or 10.6. The winners are already have placeholders in the presale, but you will get yours once they come in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we have the Yokohama giveaway going on.
We do.
Yep. Ooh, man, I'm so excited for that. For whoever wins that, I'm going to start doing entries.
I was going to say, can we win that one? Or are we still exempt from
those? How funny would that be? There's nobody would believe us.
30 entries from Tyler.
Yeah. Tyler 1, Tyler 2, Tyler 3. Yokohama is donating a set of tires for the 750 review giveaway. Mm-hmm. So super excited about that. Thank you, Yokohama, for working with us.
Yep.
And if you're looking for tires, check out Yokohama's. I think I can speak for Tyler and I, we're both very happy with our MTs.
I'm very happy with them. I'm super happy with the XATs. Like,
yeah,
the MTs are awesome on the crawler. Like, they bite onto everything. But like, if you're going to be doing a lot of trips like out in Moab, like on slick rock stuff, honestly, I think the XATs would do better. You're going to get a lot more traction. It's going to be a quieter
road noise when you're driving around, smoother ride while you're driving around. So I really, really like that tire. If you do overlanding and aren't really into serious rock crawling, that XAT is awesome.
Yeah. They look good too.
They do.
So I can't complain there. So yeah, get your reviews in on iTunes. That's where we're doing all the feeds from, and the reviews that we read, and the giveaways there are all the, well, Apple Podcasts, I guess is what they call it now. So get the reviews in. You can enter once easily. You can figure out a way to enter more than once. It is possible. I've seen twos and threes reviews in there. So we're going to do a swag pack at 550 reviews, and then we're doing the massive giveaway at 750.
Sweet. I like it. I'm excited.
Yep. Yep. And do we have any reviews, or
we want to say some?
Okay.
Some of the ones we have going on today. Oh, I don't know if I want to mention this one. Let me pre-read it. Hold on.
No pre-reading. Just read it out loud.
Okay. 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 This one is from White Lightning TRD.
Okay.
So at least they're a Toyota person. Yeah.
Why didn't you want to read it? Do you know that person?
No, I don't. It says, found them from Wheeling Wine with an H.
Wine.
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 Because that's what they do. And whiskey. Whiskey. Got a new job a few months back and needed podcasts to listen to while going through the day because we have to wear hearing protection all day and I hate earplugs and music wasn't cutting it. Found them when I started listening to Off-Road Podcasts and heard of them from Wheeling Wine and Whiskey. Glad to find a Toyota dedicated podcast that talks about all the important things, not those heaps. And I'm a neighbor to the north in Oregon. Was in Southern Oregon for a while and currently in Northern Oregon, hoping to move back south. Killer show. Keep it up, guys.
Nice. Well, we're coming up to Oregon here in a month or so. Going to Bend, P&W Expo.
Redmond.
Outside of Bend. Redmond, the actual city. Yeah, we're heading up there for the P&W Overland Expo. We'll be up there.
Yep, we'll be up there. I don't think we're going to have any booths this year. And I don't think we're planning on being in any booths this year. But we will be up there kind of hanging out, having a good time networking, saying hi to people. So
speaking of that. I haven't told you this yet, but I'll say it on air, but it doesn't really matter. Ironman 4x4 got in contact with me and wants to meet up. They asked if we were going to be at Overland Expo West and if we could arrange a time to get together. And I said, no, but we'll actually be at Overland Expo PNW and we can get together then.
Yeah.
He's like, perfect. So
sweet.
Maybe we'll be in the Overland or the Ironman 4x4 booth at some point this weekend.
That'd be fun.
But maybe we should announce that we'll figure out at some point we will be at a location at some period of time if listeners want to come by and say hi.
Yeah, I think that'd be fun to do, have a meetup point. So cool. Second one here for today is from Zashy29999.
Shy.
Is that Shy?
Is it Shy? It might be Shy.
Zashy. Says, love the content. Great content. Hope for a lot of fifth gen stuff. 2016 4Runner Trail.
I think that's Shy.
Really? He has a fifth gen?
I believe so. Yeah.
Nice. Sweet. I got to move pages now. We've got through the page.
If you're curious about our review reading, we are trying to do the best of reading more or less everybody's review. And we're probably a year or two behind.
About a year and a month.
Okay. Yeah, a year and a month behind. So we're keeping track of where we leave off. And then we start at that same location and move forward. So we're trying to get through everybody's review. But if you're like, oh, I left a review yesterday, why aren't they reading it? That's because we're a year behind. Or,
I left a review 8 months ago. What's up, man?
Yeah, we're going to get there in a few months.
Exactly. Well, here's another long one.
Ready.
It's from Peace LCG.
What up, Peace?
It says, great podcast. The Snail Trail 4x4 podcast is one of my favorite podcasts and certainly the best in the off-roading category. Tyler and Jimmy offer up an informative podcast that covers an extremely wide range of topics in a most entertaining manner. Sometimes they cover single topics and other times they have guests on that are experts in their field. While not every topic is of interest to me, I always listen because I always come away learning something new. Highly recommended for learning about four-wheeling as well as current events issues affecting those who want to get outdoors.
Well, Peace, you could probably stop the podcast now.
Yeah.
Because I think our game plan is not to really cover off-road topics today.
It could be off-road topics.
It could be off. Yeah. Maybe. We'll see.
We'll see.
We have an idea. A random thing came to us for episode 400. So I hope you enjoy it, but you might just stop now. One or the other.
More Star Wars talk.
No. No. As much as I think as much good comments we got from that, we also got some bad ones.
I think a lot of people just skipped over it. That's why nobody really had bad comments about it because nobody listened to it. So last one for today for episode 400 is from Car Jeep.
Is that a Liberty?
That's what I'm guessing. Yeah. Okay. It says, digging the show. My buddy Jose recommended the show to me and glad he did.
Awesome. Thanks, Jose.
Yeah. Thank you, Jose.
Sharing really is the best way, you guys, to promote the podcast. You know, we love the support. We love Irate 4x4 and everything going on there. You know, we love the few fans that we have on Patreon and since we moved there, but really supporting us by sharing the podcast with your friends is how you can best help us.
One hundo.
Yes.
You got that? One hundo?
100%.
That's 100%. Yeah. Percent.
Yeah, I speak Spanish.
Oh, wait. What? I don't think that's how Spanish works, Jimmy.
It's not Spanish. Anyway.
Oh, man. Cool, man. So we also have 3 voicemails.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we got some stuff to listen to.
Sweet.
And they're all 3 different ones.
Ooh, good.
Yeah.
As all much right. as we liked listening to Mudraider.
Yeah. Florida Frank.
Yeah.
Over and over and over and over again. First one here is from Jacob.
All right, Jacob.
Let's see. Looks like he...
Oh, just play it.
Okay, here we go.
Hey, Jake. Talking about the Devos White Ranger.
Did he drop it?
He might have dropped his phone.
It's got the 3 settings, but you can also push and hold the button, and the light will... All 4 lights will dim down, or 2 lights or 1 light Ooh. Will dim down and brighten back up and dim down and brighten back up. So it's like got infinite adjustability.
Oh.
Keep growing.
You too, Jacob. Thanks for that info. Heck yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's pretty
bad. I just pressed the button a few times and it'd go from 4 lights to 2 lights to 1 light and then it would go red.
Yeah.
So that infinite level is going to be, that's perfect, man. Yeah, you can
hold that button down.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Sweet. That's awesome. Those guys at Devos are smart.
Right? All right. Next one.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a long, holy crap.
Is it Frank?
Cut this person off?
Don't look, just play it.
There's no name. I don't see a name. All right. Let's see who this is. You need a...
I need to go get a beverage.
Yeah, you might need a beverage for this one.
Hello, Tyler and Jimmy. Mike Klein calling. Sitting here looking at this 94 Toyota pickup that we are...
East Coast, Mike Klein.
Doing a little restore on, Restomod crawler style. Anyway, listening to the podcast about the Bronco stuff.
Ooh, nice.
Hoping to answer a couple of questions. First of all, Tyler, as far as your transmission goes, I had the same problem when I was driving, went out there in Moab. And put it in manual mode. I don't know what's going on there. Maybe they'll come out with some kind of programming that'll show you what gear you're in. But to make you jealous, and also Jimmy, my manual Bronco shows me exactly what gear I'm in. So
I agree with that. Whatever. I had a listener tell us that.
But speaking of programming too, the go over any terrain modes, there's actually 9 of them now. Because of the Bronco Raptor that came out. And depending on what model you have, you might get 5 of them or you might get 7 of them. I think 7 might be the total you get from the dealer. But anyway, there's normal, eco, sport, slippery, sand and snow, mud and ruts, rock crawling, Baja. And now with the Raptor, there's a tow haul setting as well, which does some engine braking and some other stuff. Anyway, my Badlands did not come with sport, which, and I'm not sure how yours did, Tyler, but hey, whatever. I do plan on adding it though with a cable and some software. The last thing I wanted to throw out there was the sway bar disconnect. Unlike the Rubicon, which is electromechanical operation, the Bronco is actually hydraulic. Which means it can actually be disengaged with one wheel off the road, so it can be disengaged under load. And funny, the mechanism itself kind of looks like Jimmy's steering box, where you got some ball bearings in there and so forth. So when it's disengaged, those things move back and forth like a piston. And then when you turn it off, it actually shuts the valves and then it's hydraulically locked. It's pretty cool. Anyway, that's some Bronco updates for you. You guys have a great day. Keep rolling.
Sweet.
Nice.
Thanks, Mike.
Yeah.
That's some good info for you there.
Yeah. Except for the transmission thing. I guess my fix is to swap it and put a manual in it.
That or sticky notes.
Sticky notes.
And then whatever gear right you're on in.
Let us pay attention.
Put it up on the dash.
Gotcha. Oh, man.
Yeah, those 7-speed manuals look pretty cool from the Bronco.
They're pretty rad, especially with the crawl gear in it.
Yeah, they got a 6-speed regular and then the crawl gear makes it 7 speeds. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Cool. Thanks for calling in, Mike. That was, helpful. So for the most part,
clarity.
Yeah. That's clarity. Yeah. All right. So next one and last one for today, is, oh, really? Let's see who this is here. If it is who I think it is.
400. You boys did it. Congratulations. Hey, it's Benji over here in Missouri. Just wanted to give you guys a shout out and say congratulations and keep crawling.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Thanks, man.
That's cool.
Appreciate
Thanks, dude.
It.
Yep. Super cool. Yeah, we're excited for 400. It's fun to, get to this point, but like at the same time, it seems like it sounds like a lot of episodes, but I don't feel like we've done a lot of episodes.
Four years
worth.
That sounds like a lot.
That does sound like a lot.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So no, appreciate it, Benji. Mm-hmm. Been listening to the podcast and the revisit or revised version that you got going on. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see everything that's happening on that end and enjoy our phone calls when we occasionally have them. So yeah. Cheers.
Cheers, buddy. All right. So I think that does do it.
That was
for
the three
voicemails. Yep. That's three of them. So what else do we got for this episode here, Jimmy?
Well, I think our game plan was to tell campfire stories. We're going to go through that deck of cards that people would have gotten in their gift boxes along with the Summershine products. Mm-hmm. And we're going to answer some of them today and allow you guys to get some more insight into Tyler and I personally,
which may be a little scary for some of the people out there. So,
yeah, Donnie's probably turning it off now.
Oh, Donnie. So I guess without further ado, go ahead and grab your favorite drinks, grab some popcorn, and we'll be back with an actual campfire discussion today.
Are you tired of landing in potholes and bouncing off obstacles? To play at your full potential, correctly tuned coilovers allow you to float over the rocks and gain more traction. At Four Wheel Underground, our full suspension systems include custom tuned coilovers for your specific application. To learn more, visit fourwheelunderground.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentle ladies, boys and kiddos, dogs, doggies, doggos. Yeah, so we are on episode 400, which is twice as many as 200. Did you know that, Jimmy?
Yeah, I did.
I'm good at math.
And it wasn't too long ago that our friends at Wheeling Wine and Whiskey rolled over 200. So
that's right.
We're almost caught up to them.
Doubled. Oh, man. We got a fun, I think it's going to be a fun talk today. We'll see how much off-roading talk actually comes into this. But we thought it'd be fun to, reminisce a little bit of past trips, and Jimmy just broke everything. Past trips, past hanging out, past campfires, whatever it is that these cards may bring out, whatever stories come to light. And we'll see how this goes. I think it'll be kind of fun. I think it'll be, kind of reminiscing back through maybe some 400 episodes, maybe earlier than that, pre-podcast. Yeah. But we'll see.
Cool. So we have the deck of cards in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't talked about how to do this. So I'm going to run down a little bit of ground rules.
We're making this up as we go.
Why don't we grab a card? You grab a card and you read the card and you tell a story.
Okay.
And then I'll grab another card and read the card and tell a story.
Okay.
That way we get a variety of the cards.
Stories.
Of stories. Cards. Yeah. Okay. Not the same, you know, same card twice.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Deal?
Yeah.
All right. Tyler's going first. We're grabbing a random card.
All right. So this one, tell a story about something you could see only from above.
Okay.
So the first thing that comes to mind is, and you're for flying in a plane over Nevada and Utah, there are some pretty fucking crazy solar power generation plants out there in the middle of the desert.
Oh, random.
Yes.
Okay.
And you can see them from, I think, Highway 50 as you're driving through, but you don't get an idea of the scale of them. If you're just driving by, you really have to be above them looking down. And then you realize just how big these things are.
Sure.
And okay. Essentially it's a 1 to 2 acres, maybe more, of mirrors.
Oh, that kind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That
they all
just
focus on one location.
They reflect the sun. Every single mirror is on its own separate motor to detect where the sun is at that day. And so that it will angle itself perfectly to reflect the light from the sun into the one singular focal point on the top of a tower that's like 500 feet tall, 400 feet tall. And then at the top of the tower is openings, right? And what it is they heat up water, I believe.
Oh.
And they create steam generation.
Oh.
So it's a solar-powered steam plant. I believe that's how they work.
Yeah, I don't know how they work.
But they're pretty freaking rad. And you're just driving by and you're like, oh, it's a solar plant, but like the whole top of this tower is like lit up.
Yeah, it's super bright.
Super bright.
I've heard that birds will fly through those things and then like just self-combust.
Yes. Yep. That's how hot they get. Yeah, from the reflecting the sun's light. So when you're flying above them, that's when you really get this idea of how big they are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's an interesting story to share there.
Yeah. And then the other one that came to mind.
You got another one.
Yes.
Okay.
Is flying over the Rubicon Trail.
Yeah. That's what I thought you were going to say.
I've never done it though. That's the thing. So I can't speak from experience, but that's something I really want to do.
Okay.
And the only way you can experience the Rubicon that way is to fly over it.
Yeah. Like, I think it's fun to always fly over your hometown sort of area.
Okay.
Be able to look down on that and go like, oh, there's that street and here's this street and there's my house and there's the lake or, you know, whatever is around.
Uh-huh.
I always think that one's pretty fun.
Yeah.
All right. Mine is tell a memorable story about a road trip or tell a story about a memorable road trip. Excuse me.
Okay.
So when I was very, very young and we had the Cherokee,
okay,
we would do a lot of camping, mm-hmm. car camping, mm-hmm. now I think called overlanding, whatever. We were doing a trip out to some ghost towns out in Death Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And I was 8 years old or something. I don't know. I was pretty young.
Mm-hmm.
We were way off the beaten path. My parents found this random road, you know, a dirt road that took us out to the middle of nowhere to this ghost town. And we were driving along and there was a patch of snow that covered the trail.
Okay.
And it was sort of one of those that, like, you know, it was a bank of snow.
Okay.
And I freaked out. I said, we're going to get up on that snow and we're going to slide down the hill and we're all going to die.
Yeah.
And my parents are like, no, we're not. I'm like, yes, we are. This isn't good. This isn't what we should be doing. We need to turn around. And my parents are like, no, we're not turning around. We are already so far in. We're just about there. You know, wise words, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're almost there and we're not turning around. I was like, I don't want to go across that. And mm-hmm. they're like, okay, well, hop out. And I was like, no, I don't want to hop out because if I'm going
to
watch you guys die and then I'm going to be here all by myself.
Uh-huh.
And then, so I stayed in the car and we crossed it and we were totally fine. But I always remember that scene of that, you know, just this little snow drift
mm-hmm.
and the side. And it's just has that for some reason has stuck with me. And it was, I don't know why that was the one that popped up into my head. But we did make it out to the ghost town, and the ghost town was really cool. And I remember we had a pretty epic camping spot that night where it was just kind of down in a wash, and it was, you know, just a great little spot, and coyotes were super loud that night. So all in all, it was a fun little road trip, but I do remember freaking out and, having a breakdown with my parents, you know, so that was kind of funny.
Was it, do you remember your, previous trip to McLeod when you took some people up the mountain and you made it further than the full-size trucks, and you had a couple of them freaking out that you were that going down the incline?
That wasn't McLeod. That was out in the High Lakes Lake District.
Oh, I thought that was up near Shasta.
No, it was, I can't remember the forest name.
Mendocino area?
Yeah, it was up there.
Gotcha.
But yes, I remember that.
So but were that you didn't come
back
out?
To me. No, I didn't remember that at the time. Okay. I think now that I have so much more wheeling experience and time behind the steering wheel that I was like, okay, we're going to, you know, like, and there was a patch of dirt at the edge of the cliff on this one.
Okay. Whereas the other one.
So if we slid, I stopped at the dirt level.
Uh-huh.
But there wasn't enough. I didn't feel like there was enough dirt I didn't want to put my tire on that dirt and use it as grip to drive around that drift. Because if that went away, I was going down the hill.
Yeah.
Like that's pretty, I'm going to put my tire over the edge of this cliff and try to drive around it. You know, like that's not a great idea.
No.
But. So I think that didn't really come into my mind, though. When I was telling the story, I did think of it.
Okay.
But I think it's mainly I have more driving experience, and I understand that you're probably not going to die most of the time. So
I almost slid down an embankment into Loon Lake this winter. Oh,
that's a big embankment.
It was where you're coming around the chalet parking area to the first dam.
Uh-huh.
All that right there in the wintertime gets blown over because all the wind comes off of the lake and then just goes up that embankment.
Sure.
And then it also comes off of the parking area down into the lake, right?
Okay.
So that just in the wintertime, it typically just becomes a large snow embankment. There's no like trail through there. And you just kind of have to go really slow. And when I was going through, I started sliding. And for some reason, I'm glad it did, my front tires hooked up on something and got traction. My ass end slid down the embankment and I spun and did a 90-degree turn.
Ooh.
I was like, I almost ended up in Loon Lake.
Yeah. You probably would have been on top of Loon Lake this winter.
Probably, yes.
And now that we're talking about it, I should have probably said the story of my diesel problems coming home from Moab a few years ago.
Oh yeah. That's your 2-week trip back from Moab.
drive home from Moab where I lost the high pressure fuel lines on the backside of the engine and on the front side of the engine separate times. So that was a good time. If you didn't know that story, DM me. I'll tell it to you.
Yeah, that's a good one. Cool. All right. I have a couple more memorable road trips, but let's move on to some more cards. We did this one. We did this one already.
All right. Skip it.
Okay. Next one. Tell a story about a very long night.
Oh, okay. Keep it PG, Tyler.
Yeah. Okay. So
I got one for you.
You have a long night
for you that you could tell.
Oh, that I could tell.
Yeah. Right. Parts are out there in the waiting room.
Yes. There's that story as well. God, that was an even longer night just because, okay. So that would be the longest night, I think. So I have two stories in.
Yeah.
I'll skip most of the first one since I think everybody should know it by now if you've been listening to the podcast. But last year at Moab, I snapped my leaf springs. And that added 6 hours, 6.5 hours to our trip of doing the trifecta.
Yeah, which is already like a 10-hour road trip.
Yes, which is already a 10-hour day. I think we had to meet everybody like 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
6:30 and leave at 7.
6-something at the meetup point. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So super early in the morning. So you know,
and we left late because the leader was a Jeep.
Yeah. And so anyways, we're getting down to the end of the trail. We're just finishing up. Golden Spike and about to hit Gold Bar Rim or at the waterfall. I snapped my leaf springs because I'm going and playing around and added 6.5 hours to everybody's trip. So everybody that was on that trip got back to their hotels, campsites, Airbnbs, whatever it was back in town right around 2 a.m.
Yep.
That's not where the night ended for me though.
No,
because the secretary, once it gets past a certain time at night, she can't sleep and just, it's an insomnia thing. And she's just not going to go to sleep. So She said when we got back at 2 a.m., she goes, there's no point in us trying to go to sleep and sleep for 3 to 4 hours to wake up at 7, leave at 8 or 9 and get out of here and drive all the way back home. Let's just leave now. And I was like, it's 2 a.m. though.
Yeah. It's way past my bedtime.
Yeah. But it was one of those things where the way she said it was like, there's no point in even arguing, trying to reason with it. I just said, okay, let's pack up. We'll do this. So luckily she drove most of the way. And so I immediately tried to go to sleep. And I ended up semi falling asleep and I woke up at a truck stop and she said that she had to pull over at the truck stop because she was hallucinating.
Wow. Okay.
And I was like, yeah, I'm glad you pulled over. And so then, we switched over and I started driving for a bit. And then, I got to the point, I was like, I'm still freaking tired. Mm-hmm. And so went back, we switched back and I took a nap and, I think we stopped for another half hour, 40 minutes to take another nap. And then, she started driving and then we almost ran out of gas and, we pulled into a gas station in the middle of nowhere with like 8 miles left on the tank, something like that. Towing. So like that 8 miles is not going to go 8 miles. And she goes, man, and I'm like waking up as we're pulling into the gas station. She looks over at me with this like look of stress on her face. And she goes, I almost fucked up. I was like, well, what? She goes, we almost didn't make it here. And I was like, oh, okay, well, we made it. Cool. But from there, we had another stop where we slept for another like hour, 45 minutes to an hour, hour and a half, something like that. Anyways, so because we left at 2 a.m. and you left at like 10, 9 or 10 a.m. 9
maybe.
And I think you got back into Sacramento like 45 minutes after we did.
Yeah, we probably both got home about the same time.
About the same time.
And we live roughly 30 minutes apart from each other.
Yeah. And that was last year. And I was like, awesome. So we pulled essentially an all nighter, got no good sleep at all. And we still made it home at the same time as Jimmy.
Yeah.
Like, thanks.
And I got six, seven hours of sleep or something like that,
which is plenty. That's all I needed. Six hours, man.
All right. So what was the other one?
The other one was,
I was really hoping to catch you, by the way.
No, the other one, what was it now? Oh, it was, went out snow wheeling up on, Mormon Immigrant Trail.
Oh yeah.
And
that's a first.
I know, never done that before. And I was out there with a few guys. I think I was like a random group put together, like 4 or 5 people. And I was the most geared. I had the most experience and I happened to have up the repeater as well, the 805 repeater. And I heard a call come over the repeater that said, hey, is there anybody out there paying attention? I'm just curious if there's anybody on the radio. And I was like, what's going on? He goes, hey, we're not in an emergency yet. We're stuck. But it was like early afternoon at this point, maybe late morning. But they're like, yeah, we're stuck. We're going to try and shovel ourselves out of here. But I don't know how it's going to go. So I just wanted to make sure that there's somebody listening in case we need to call in help. I was like, yep, I'm listening. I'm here. We can get a hold of search and rescue. Search and rescue is usually listening to this repeater as well. They're like, okay, cool. And then a couple hours later, a call, the guys get back on the radio. They're like, hey, I'm looking for search and rescue. And so I just kind of stayed quiet and Frank Yost got on.
Yeah.
And okay. Frank goes, hey, what's going on, guys? And figured out the situation. And they're like, yeah, it's us too. We've got 2 kids with us. We're in jeans and tennis shoes and no jackets. Nobody's got any jackets. And there's a storm coming in this evening too. And Frank is like, all right, well, let me make some phone calls. You know, just sit in the cab, stay warm for now. And I'll get back on here. And they said where they were located, their GPS coordinates over the radio too. So I'm writing it down as they're giving all this info over. And I looked it up. I'm like, they're only 4 or 5 miles up from me. So I got back on the radio with Frank and I was like, hey, Frank, this is Tyler. I'm not that far and I can probably get to them. I don't know if I can get them out. It was in my first Gen 4 run at the time. Okay. So super lightweight, awesome snow wheeler, but they were in a Tundra.
Mm, yeah.
First Gen quad cab Tundra that was solid axle swapped. No lockers, open on 33s or 35, something like that. So I was like, I know I can get to them and I can get them off the mountain, but I don't know if I can get their vehicle out. And if I get stuck getting their vehicle out, then we're all screwed. I was like, can we just kind of keep track of me through the APRS and make sure that I stay moving? And he goes, sure. Yeah, no problem. I'll watch you. I was like, okay, cool. I told the rest of the guys in my group, I was like, I don't want you guys coming up here. We're going up into the storm. So I would rather go by myself than bring you guys with up too. So yeah. that should say the state of
the guys their skills.
Was, yeah. their skills and who I was with. So I started going up there, and sure as shit, I get up there and find them, and their whole front end is just buried in the snow. They're down, I don't know, 4 feet. Their front end fell in a hole. They've been trying to shovel, not getting anywhere, no winches. They're in cloth.
Cotton attire.
Cotton attire, jeans, cotton socks, regular shoes, no snow gear at all, with two kids with no snow gear at all. I'm like, what are you guys thinking? Like,
yeah, they weren't.
No, they weren't thinking.
They weren't thinking. Yeah.
So anyways, on my way up there, I found a Jeep that was relatively geared. And I was like, hey dude, can you help me? He goes, yeah, sure. So he tagged along. And as I was pulling out the Tundra, I got stuck and I buried myself good. And then the Jeep got stuck.
Oh no.
And when the Jeep got stuck, we were getting like sideways 40 to 50 mile an hour snow. And it was snowing so fast that we couldn't shovel it. Like we Dang. Couldn't shovel the snow out to get our vehicles out because more snow was just coming in. And so I was like, that was the one time I was like, this is not good. The one time snow I've ever been snowmobiling where I was like, I'm in a bad situation now.
Yeah. That's every time I go snowmobiling. Just so you know.
Yeah. And eventually a 4Runner on 46s, I think 49s ended up showing up.
Oh, okay.
And so he comes Third down, gen? First gen oh, on 49s. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Turboed. He came down and, pulled the Jeep out, and then me and the Jeep and the Tundra kind of just backed up for like a mile and a half up this hill backwards with the Jeep strapped to me. No, winched to me, me winched to the Tundra. And then we just kind of all pulled. And once we stopped, whoever was stuck got winched.
Okay. Yeah.
And then until they were not stuck, and then you would suck the winches back in once everybody's back in the trail and then continue backing up.
Wow.
And that took 3 hours to back yeah. up a mile and a half uphill doing that. And so by the time we got off the mountain, I mean, I had icicles hanging from the 4Runner. The whole grill was completely frozen over, solid ice.
Dang.
The whole headlights were all iced over, solid inch thick ice. Like, I was like, that was almost really, really bad, but we made it all off the mountain. I think we were all, had everybody down around 1:32 AM.
Wow.
So
that's a long night.
It was a very long day and a long night. And it was made longer mentally.
Sure.
Because I was like, there was a couple of points where I was like, I don't know if we're all getting out of here tonight.
Well, yeah.
So
leave the dumb parents behind.
Yeah. Right. So anyways, yeah, that was my first one. My first thought.
Got it. Okay. Next card I got is tell a story about the quietest place you've ever been.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
That is a tough one.
I'm not 100% sure where the quietest place I've ever been is, but I do have quite a few places that are extremely quiet.
Okay.
Then they all go back to backpacking for me.
Okay.
Right. Cause that's like, you're getting even away from cars, you know, you're getting a farther out into you drive someplace and you go backpacking, you're farther away than from most society than you can get.
Mm-hmm.
So the one that kind of comes to mind, I had a few that came to mind. So first I was like, there's gotta be one on Mount Whitney. And mm-hmm. every time on Whitney, we pretty much got snowed off the mountain.
Yeah.
Okay. For the most part.
Mm-hmm.
We had never went to Whitney on a good weather situation. So it was never really quiet because you were in like a storm.
Mm-hmm.
Then I was like, it's on Mount Shasta.
Okay.
And I was like, well, whenever I hike to Shasta, we usually stop, we do Avalanche Gulch and we go up and we camp at Helen's Lake. But Helen's Lake is a normal stopping spot for everybody that's hiking Avalanche Gulch. Mm-hmm. So there's a bunch of people there. So it's never really quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Though I did do it one time and we hiked up in a storm, so nobody was really up there. And the next day we were above the cloud layer.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And it was absolutely gorgeous.
That would be rad.
Fantastic photos of us above the clouds.
Yeah.
looking down at clouds, like our tent in the background with us above the cloud layer. It was absolutely like breathtaking. So that might be up there. But the one that I thought of was at one time. Yeah. The one I thought of was before my brother had his son, before my nephew came around. My brother wanted to go out on a backpacking trip. Just what?
Is your nephew really loud or something? Or?
No, it was before he was getting, before he had his first child.
Okay.
Right. He's like, I need to go out backpacking, go do something to get away before I have a kid.
Gotcha. Okay.
But he is very loud, actually, now that you say that. He's quite a loud gentleman. Uh-huh. So my brother and I went out backpacking just to do like, you know, one last hurrah before he had a kid or something. And we went out in like the, what is it? The Redwood National Forest outside of Yosemite. Is that what it is down there?
Either Sequoia National Park or Kings Canyon.
Shit. It was one of those. I think it was Sequoia.
Okay.
And we went and did, we didn't even know. We were like, let's start here and let's just hike trails until we get tired and make camp. Mm-hmm. And I'm not even sure where we camped, but we hiked about 5 miles, I think, that day. Just out, get away, found a pretty epic spot near a lake and, just chilled, you know, and just, it was only us out there. Nobody else was out there. It was kind of an odd season. Mm-hmm. It was like March. So it was like still winter, but it was that year was quite dry. So it wasn't that bad. Like there was still snow on the ground. It was still cold, but we camped at an epic spot. The next day we went on a really nice hike and we did this like loop around the lake and just ran into a bunch more lakes. It was really cool. Mm. And it was a good time. I mean, it was just my brother and I. I think that was the only time that it was just my brother and I went out on a hike. And so it was a cool, fun bro time.
Yeah.
So, and we were in the middle of nowhere and nobody around but some birds and squirrels.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's was some of my quietest places I've been.
Mine is a Barrett Lake in the snow at nighttime.
Oh, I'm sure. Because you're not allowed to be there in the snow typically.
Yeah. And snow just gives you a quietness. It blocks out all other noise, ambient noise. So like at nighttime where you can't really see anything in the dark plus the snow. So it's blocking out all the noise. It was eerie, but at the same time, amazing.
Yeah. Especially when, like if there's snow on the ground, it's quiet, but if it's snowing, it's like, you know,
and it was thick, like your death. Thick flakes. Yeah. It was cool.
It's crazy.
Tell a story about an unforgettable sunrise or sunset.
Didn't we do this one too?
Did we do this one?
I don't remember. I think we did.
I haven't seen it yet.
Then I've seen the card maybe.
This one for me,
I've got one over the beach, but
okay.
That was mine.
Mine is going to be a sunset.
Okay.
So, Meadow Lake, I think it was during Sierra Trek 2 years ago.
Okay.
Maybe 3 years ago. When, what was it? The Dixie Fire was going on. Was that the huge, the massive, massive one that was up in like,
I don't remember.
Area?
There was a big fire going on. The smoke is up.
The smoke was up. And, at nighttime when the sun set, you could see the red on the horizon from the fire at Meadow Lake.
Yeah.
And so were all just kind of standing
looking towards Reno.
I believe we're looking over the lake, straight north rather than north.
Okay. Because I was there 1 year that there was a fire out in Nevada and you could see the smoke in the air and then the fire, the red of the fire.
Yeah.
Like glowing off the bottom of the smoke at night.
Maybe that's what it was.
It was really weird.
Yeah. That was the first one that comes to mind.
Okay.
Is that sunset
more
there.
More than one?
Not really. Okay. You know, there's been a couple of really cool sunrises out on the Rubicon at Windy Camp. Mm-hmm. Windy Camp has some awesome ones. Sunsets and sunrises from in the springs aren't really that great because you're down in the middle of this valley.
Right. Yeah.
But out at Windy Camp, when you're looking out across Spider Lake, there's some pretty cool sunrises there.
Yeah. They have good sunsets there.
And sunsets too. Yeah.
Because it sets over the lake. Mm-hmm. The sunrise is over the mountain. Mm. So I like the sunset at Windy Camp better. Mm. But you can't camp. Not everybody can camp at Windy Camp. Nope. It's on private property. You need to get permission from the owners to go out there.
Yep.
All I'm going to say is supposedly the best sunset in the world is from
Hollow?
No. Santorini. There's the word I was looking. Santorini, Greece. Because you're up like 500 to 800 feet on a cliff above the ocean on a volcanic crater. And you're looking down at the sunset over the ocean.
Oh, interesting.
Which is really cool. I've also seen a ton of sunsets over the ocean, and I've never seen a green flash. I still really want to see a green flash.
Keep watching for it.
Yeah.
Wait. Oh, I missed it.
Yeah. I don't know how something about the sun, the orange and yellow of the sun going behind the blue of the water makes a green flash right as it disappears. Mm. And I've never seen one. Mm. So I'm still on that hunt.
I've never looked for it, I guess.
Yeah. There's even a good beer called the Green Flash. So now you know why it's called that. All right. My card is called Tell a Story About the Most Interesting Person You've Met on Your Travels. I've met a lot of interesting people on my travels. I've traveled quite extensively. What would be the most interesting person? I know who's yours would be. That guy that you met with, the glue tread guy, people.
We met a couple of people on that trip. Right. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I don't know who mine would be. I've met Rick Steves. How about that? I'll go with Rick Steves.
Who's Rick Steves?
You don't know who Rick Steves is? Mm-mm. Rick Steves is like the OG travel guy. He's the Rick Steves travel books of all of Europe. He like traveled Europe all over the place and told people how to travel through Europe. And he had a TV show of traveling on in Europe. And he did the, like, he'll had guided, you know, like the book, you buy a book and it's a self-guided tour through, you know, through Germany or through Italy or through whatever. And my parents and I and my brother went on a Europe trip in like 2007, 2008. And we were in Germany traveling on a Rick Steves self-guided tour. And he was staying at the same hotel as we were. And supposedly, from what I was coming to find out a little later, is every few years he goes on his own travel books. Mm-hmm. He travels them and follows up with the hotels that he suggests or the shopping centers that he suggests or things. And he goes to see if they're still as good as he remembered them to be.
Yeah.
And he's always updating and keeping his books more up to date.
Nice.
And removing people that aren't doing as well or adding people that are. So I've heard from some vendors that it's a really good thing to be in his travel books because a lot of people use them to travel around Europe. Gotcha. So I was in Germany at a random place, one of the walled in cities in Germany. And we were going to go do the night watchman tour where this guy with like dresses up as a night watchman, you walk around the entire city at night and he tells you about the history of the city and what the night watchmans did and how they closed the city up and everything. And he was there talking to the night watchman because he knew him. And so I went up and shook his hand.
Nice.
So, I don't know. That
would be kind of cool.
I'll go with that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the two guys we met with the glue tread, with Andy and Simon.
Those are interesting
those
characters.
Those are definitely interesting. I don't know if that's the right word for them to describe them fully, but they're interesting guys sure.
Whatever episode that was, 350?
I don't know.
348? Go listen to that episode, glue tread episode. And
The glue tread on the Rubicon.
Yep.
God, there was something else. Another one that I was thinking of for interesting person, but I forgot it now. So,
all right. Well, it's not time. Your card.
Nope.
My card. All right. Well, how many are we going to do? Two more each?
Yeah, we can do two more here.
All right.
Tell a story about my first camping trip.
Do you even remember?
I don't remember my first camping trip.
I was an infant.
Yeah. I was like,
draw another one.
Okay. Tell a story about a place that wasn't what you expected.
Back door.
Back door is definitely not what I expected originally. Yes.
I mean, the wall is much larger.
It is. No, back door is interesting to me because I'd heard about it, but like, I don't know if I really had an expectation of back door.
Okay.
I just kind of went into it and I was like, oh my God, this is stupid.
Yeah.
What the fuck is happening here right now? A place that wasn't what I expected.
Any trails that you did not expect to be as difficult or were less difficult?
I mean, I was expecting Moab to be a little bit more difficult than what it was, what it is. I was expecting Cane Creek to be a lot more difficult than it was.
Yeah.
that one, definitely Cane Creek was not what I expected it to be. Hamburger Hill is pretty gnarly. And that's probably why Cane Creek gets the rating it does, because of Hamburger Hill. But like, I don't know. I feel like the rest of it could almost be done in two-wheel drive. Like,
pretty much. Yeah. Yeah. Except for maybe that one off camber obstacle that leans you towards that the big
turn,
rock.
Yeah. Yeah, turn. Yeah. Little Z turn. I would say that I would, a place that wasn't what I expected. I would say going to Meadow Lake without an off-road vehicle. I thought that that would be more fun than it was.
Just that, driving the road?
No, just when I had to go out there one year without my rig, I had the RAV4.
Yeah. Okay.
It definitely was not as fun as I was thinking it was going to be.
Sounds so bumpy.
Yeah. That was when I blew up the valves in the 4Runner. And then I didn't have the 4Runner. And then I planned out the 3-4 swap while I was there at Meadow Lake.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I was like, this sucks being up here in the RAV4. I never want to come up here again without the rig. I need to get this back up and running. Yeah. I'll go with that.
Tell a story about feeling something move beneath your feet.
Oh, I have a good one for that.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, a good one. I mean, I have one immediately.
You know, the first thing that comes to mind is like when you like are in like a pond or like maybe a lake and you like
river monsters
feel a river monster or a fish or something. And you're like, what the hell was that?
Mm-hmm.
But I can't. I got one. I got a decent one. Okay. Right. So in college, I took a surfing class for 4 semesters.
Okay.
Right. And on my fourth time taking this class, the professor, because it was the same class, it was just, I took it 4 times. Mm-hmm. Right. And the teacher was like, why are you taking this class? you know everything. And I said, because it literally is forcing me to get out and surf.
Yeah.
Like I want, like I could go out and surf any day, any time, but if I'm in a class, I'm like, I need to come out and surf.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I also, at that time, when I first went to Monterey, I was coming off swimming and water polo.
Mm-hmm.
And the instructor, when my first semester taking the class, my instructor said, I am out swimming the waves.
You need to calm down.
Yeah. And now there's no way I could probably pull that off. I'd be like struggling to catch a wave. Anyway, so there was a few times that I've been in the water surfing. And I've had something hit my feet. Yeah. Multiple times that it was dolphins.
Really?
Yes. Which is really cool.
That would be cool.
I've been on like one of those boards that you can buy at Costco, the foam surf boards.
Mm-hmm.
Those are fantastic for learning to surf. And they're just fun to have and ride around. Like I have a few. So I had a few surfboards, different sizes and lengths from short boards to log boards, but the foam top ones are a blast.
Mm-hmm.
They're just great. They're really buoyant. They're easy to catch waves on. You can catch small waves to large waves. They're fun. So anyways, I was on one of these foam boards, like an 8-foot board, and I'm sitting there and all of a sudden something hits my foot and you freak the fuck out.
Yeah.
Right? You're like, I'm in the middle of the ocean. Something hit my foot.
Uh-huh.
And like you pull your legs up, you know, and you sit on your board, and you're looking around and you're like, where's the shark?
Uh-huh.
And then all of a sudden a dolphin pops his head up and it pushes your board. It pushed my board, you know, and I'm like, what the hell is going on? And then it went under and it was gone for a while. And then it came back up and it pushed my board again. Right. And I'm like, I'm going to get out of the water because I truly did feel that the dolphin is telling me move.
Interesting.
Right? Like okay. it knew something was going on.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, okay, my sense of whatever the dolphin's telling me right now, which could be hocus pocus, right?
Uh-huh.
But I was like, I think the dolphin's telling me to get out of the water.
Huh.
And I got out of the water. I never saw anything. Like I stayed on the shore for a while and I watched the dolphin. For all I know, could have just been playing.
Uh-huh.
But I took it as it was telling me to get out of the water.
I thought you were going to say, and like 2 minutes later, some dude came up with his arm missing.
No, that did not happen that time. Mm-hmm. But, and I never did see anything. So it wasn't, I don't know if I took the dolphin the right way or if I took his fun out of there, but there was other times, many times that I've been surfing and then like you see dolphins porpoising towards you and then they disappear and you look down underneath you and you see the dolphins flutter underneath you. And then on the other side, they start porpoising away from you. But another time I didn't exactly hit my foot, but I was surfing in Costa Rica and the wave went down and this rock came out of the water right next to me. Right. And then the wave went up and then the wave went down and the rock wasn't there.
What?
And I was like, Tony, wasn't there a rock? Well, that's my brother, Tony. Wasn't there a rock right there? And he's like, no, I was a sea turtle. And I'm like, what? And I was like, hold my board. And I threw it to him and I dove under the water and I opened my eyes and I looked and the sea turtle was like 100 yards away from me. They can swim so freaking fast. They're so slow on land, but they could swim super fast. So I tried to chase after it and I didn't catch it. But that was another. Didn't exactly hit my foot, but that was a cool one. That was right there by my feet. So
that's cool.
All right. Those are my two foot stories.
Mine was just an earthquake.
Oh yeah.
The earthquake that happened recently is the first earthquake I've ever felt.
Yeah. You told me that. I had my earthquake story was, I was washing a car out in front of the door or out in front of my apartment in college. And I asked, who's shaking my car? And I turn around. Nobody's around my car. I was like, oh, there's an earthquake going on.
Nice. All right. So last card for episode 400. I don't know if I know this.
All right. Pick another one.
All right.
You picked a lot of other ones.
I know, right? All right. Tell a story about something surprising you've dug up in the dirt.
No. Okay. That's random.
So, in seventh grade, we had the freaking coolest teacher.
Okay.
So I went to a very, very religious school and upbringing. Kindergarten through eighth grade was at a private school. And our seventh grade teacher loved teaching science and history.
Okay, cool.
And he taught about, you know, ancient Egypt and a bunch of other stuff. But there was a whole like month long thing about ancient Egypt.
And archaeology. I think I know where this is going.
And it was super cool. So we had to build pyramids out of sugar cubes, I ate half of my pyramid before I ever built it.
And had three cavities.
Had three layers to it. So we got to do that. We got to learn about hieroglyphs and how to make your own an effigy of yourself. I don't know if effigy would be the right word. It's a hieroglyphic two-dimensional picture of yourself.
Silhouette
maybe, but kinda. Like an Egyptian form.
Yeah.
So,
silhouette outline.
Mm-hmm. We got to learn how to make our name as a Pharaoh name with the
Egyptian.
Yep.
Okay.
With the, what is it? The cartouche around it, whatever it is. Anyways. So, super rad teacher, really a lot of fun about ancient Egypt. I think that's probably where a lot of my allure, my draw to ancient Egypt comes from. I love hearing about the history of ancient Egypt, but anyways, we had to learn about mummification.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so one of the
things, which is really weird.
It's super fucking weird. Like what they do to people.
Yeah.
But
pulling out organs and everything,
pulling out organs and then completely dehydrating a body and then wrapping it so that it never decomposes.
Yeah. It never hydrates again.
Yeah. It never hydrates.
It's like making jerky and then wrapping it with like, Ziploc bags.
Kind of, yeah.
Not Ziploc. What are those air suction pull-out bags?
Vacuum bag?
Vacuum seal bags. Yeah.
It's like a vacuum seal. They literally take all the oxygen and all the liquid moisture out of a body so that it can't decompose.
Yeah.
And so we got to practice this with chicken legs.
What?
Yeah.
Random.
Yep.
Okay.
So we got chicken legs and the whole class did it. And we all got to salt our chicken legs and get it all dehydrated. And then we wrapped it with, linen and, God, what did we use? There was another, something we used in order to make it airtight so that air couldn't get in through the linen. Ancient Egypt used, essentially tar from tree and sap and made an epoxy kind of thing. They made like an epoxy.
They covered you in it?
They covered the linens in it as they put the linens on so that no oxygen could get through the linens. So anyways, we got to do this with chicken legs, drumsticks. And so what he had us do is we got to bury them.
Okay. Yeah.
And then we had to come back once we were in eighth grade and dig them up and see how each of our mummifications fared over a year being in the ground. So, that was a really cool project for a seventh grader.
Yeah.
To be able to mummify your own chicken legs and then come back a year later and dig them up.
That's really cool.
And then see who's lasted like and who's decomposed and rotted out.
Like a time capsule kind of thing, but that's rad. Mm-hmm. That kind of reminds me, what was your story of your card? Tell you something that you dug up.
Yeah. Something surprising you dug up in the dirt.
So your story, I'll be brief because this is your story, but it really reminds me of the Terracotta Warriors in China.
Oh yeah. Those are super rad too.
Yeah. So long story short about so I went to China many years ago. And China's weird to go into China. You have to be invited into the country. But if you go do a tour, usually the tour will invite you in to come and go to China. Or you need to know somebody in China to invite you in, right?
Gotcha.
So we were going to do a tour and we went and saw the Terracotta Warriors. The brief history kind of the Terracotta Warriors is the thought was that when the ruler of that tribe or that army died, all the soldiers killed themselves so that they could go protect the king, the emperor in the afterlife.
Okay, yeah.
And that emperor thought that was stupid. He's like, I'm going to build a terracotta army and then this army will protect me in the afterlife. And then when you die, you'll take the place, your soul will go to your terracotta warrior.
Yeah.
Right. And that's sort of the thing. This emperor was also, he was a very, very smart guy. He was the one guy that conquered all of the tribes of China. Mm-hmm. He made a modern medicine and he made a common currency of China. So he like reunited China.
Yeah.
He made the Terracotta Warriors. Mm-hmm. They buried the Terracotta Warriors, which is an epic thing to discover. I even met one of the guys I don't know if it was, that is discovered the Terracotta Warriors. Because it wasn't discovered that it was like the 60s or something.
I want to say 60s or 70s, somewhere in there,
And it was just the rule in China is if you dig and you find something, you have to report it to the government. Mm-hmm. And so he was one of the guys. He was going blind because so many people were taking photos of him and he was getting all this flashing in his eyes. So they're like, no photos, no photos. Uh-huh. Anyway, so Terracotta Warriors are interesting by themselves, but the emperor got buried in a tomb on a raft of a lake of mercury.
What?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
And so they know where he's buried. And they've barely opened, because of stories, they're like, this is a ton of mercury in here. Mm-hmm. They've opened it up barely and stuck something in and like Mike looked around and the lake is not there. The pond of mercury is not there anymore. All the mercury has been evaporated, is sealed inside this tomb. And so they're like, we can't open this.
Yeah.
And so this emperor is forever buried inside his tomb and never going to be disturbed.
I didn't know that part.
It's pretty crazy. And kudos to China for this one moment. Mm-hmm. When you unbury the Terracotta Warriors, they're painted. Shortly after you expose them to oxygen, all the color goes away.
Yeah.
So they have stopped excavating until they find technology to keep the painting on.
Oh, wow. Huh.
I thought that was really cool.
Though, yeah. Too.
Anyways, okay.
Yeah, that's crazy. The Terracotta Warriors, every single one of them has a different face.
Yeah. They're all images unique of his soldiers.
Soldiers, yeah.
So some dude was there making the terracotta of his soldiers.
Yeah.
Which is really wild. Yeah. And it's also neat to whenever that emperor got taken over, a lot of people, the Terracotta Warriors got beat up and ransacked. So there's still a bunch left, but there was even more than we knew about. Because they would have their weapons and they'd have like full weapons and swords and everything. Uh-huh. But all that stuff is gone because another rival, tribe or whatever came in and took over that culture and then stole all the weapons.
That's like how the pharaohs worked.
Yeah, exactly.
Jeez.
So, all right.
That was cool.
Yeah, that's a really, the Terracotta Warriors are really cool. We were in Epcot Center, I think it was, in Florida, and they have a big pond in the middle, and then they have all these countries around the outside of that pond. Mm-hmm. And China was there being represented, and they had mini figures of the Terracotta Warriors. And my mom was like, I want to see that in my life.
Yeah.
And then like 2 years later, we went to China. All right. Tell a story about a rock, tree, mountain, or ocean that gave you perspective.
Oh, Interesting.
I would say my mountain is Whitney.
Yeah.
Because I have not been able to conquer it.
Okay.
And it's in my life goal to now get on top of that mountain, which isn't, which I could do. I could probably, I don't know if I could do it right now, but I could probably do that in my lifetime as long as I'm not doing the Mountaineer's route and I'm not going in the middle of winter.
Yeah. When you're not choosing the worst conditions.
Yeah, when I'm not choosing to go in bad conditions and not needing to carry ropes and carabiners and crampons and ice axes, I probably could conquer that mountain. But yeah. It is, you know, it's, so Whitney is the tallest mountain in the continental United States. It's like 14,300 feet.
Okay.
There's a lot of 14 ones, a few 14 ones in California, a few 14 ones in Colorado. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of mountains over it, but Whitney is definitely the tallest one in the continental United States, lower 48. So it was just, it was a goal of mine to hike to the top of that mountain one time. And every time you stand down at Whitney Portal and you look up and you're like, which one of those mountains is Whitney? Because there are, there's like three spires that are all right there and they all look pretty damn tall. And I believe it's the one in the middle is the one that you hike is Whitney. And there's just a smaller point on that one mountain that's just a little bit taller than the other ones around it. But not being, you know, having a goal of your life to do something and get denied like three times or maybe four times is, it's a little humbling when you, you know, you get a perspective of how, when playing with nature, you're the one that's playing.
Yeah, exactly. And,
you can, nature can, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't care about what you're doing.
Nope.
And it has a wrath. Mm-hmm. And as long as you can understand what's going on, then you usually can be pretty safe about it. Like your experiences out snow wheeling and saving those people. And our experiences on the mountain, you know, of pitching a tent in a wrong spot and then going, trying to go to sleep and then waking up and having like a foot of snow on top of us in an inside the tent. Yeah. It was just, this snow was so fine. It was going through the mesh.
Wow.
Yeah. that next year I bought a four season tent, which has no, it has no window.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a solid thing. There's no, you know, you open the door and you shut the door and it's, yeah, that's it. There's no like, oh, I've got a rain fly. No, there's no rain fly. It's you've got the rain fly is the tent.
Yeah.
No openings. So there's a perspective there of nature and the mountain and how it beams out and gleams at down at me and laughs and I'm going to conquer it one day.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's cool.
If anybody wants to hike Whitney with me, let me know.
I like it, man.
So good that stuff. Was what?
Good fun stories.
10 cards out of this deck, yeah, maybe 12. Roughly. I don't know how many we did. Mm-hmm. We grabbed a few extra. I pawned through a few to try to find one and then I gave up and then grabbed the next one and that last one and it was fun. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. That was a little glimpse into some of our stories, some of our past, some of our lives, some of the things going around the world. A happy 400 to you, Tyler.
You too, buddy.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. This is more than 400 technically.
Yeah, with everything out there, but...
Yeah, I think on Spreaker, we're like 420 something.
Wow.
And that's a few doubles because back in the day, we didn't know that we could re-upload episodes. So if we had an audio error, we'd upload a whole nother episode.
Yeah.
And then there's the TTTTs. And then there's some bonus episodes. You know, like we just had one, whatever the part one, part two was just recently. Yep.
Of Moab, I think.
Yeah, Moab. So there's some doubles in there and some extra episodes, but on the count, this is episode 400.
Yeah. Good stuff, man.
Yeah. Wild ride.
Yep. Do you want some cake now?
Yes.
All right. So if you guys have any other questions or feedback for the show, you guys know what to do by now. You have 399 other episodes to look back and figure out what to do. So I'm just going to say, Jimmy, what's your final words for everybody?
To another 400.
And with that, my friends... keep crawling.
I got one for you.
I'm ready for a joke.
It's kind of more of a riddle, but it could be a joke too.
Oh, well, I'm good at riddles.
Okay.
I'm bad at jokes. I'm good at riddles.
All right.
Yeah.
How do you make 7 even?
I don't know.
You take away the S.
Oh.
Thought you were good at riddles.
That was a bad riddle.
Oh, okay.
That wasn't a good one.
Okay, well, that was a joke.
I'm only good at good riddles, okay?
Oh, gotcha. Okay.